Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, Mac, you want a cool stat? I'll give you two.
Hit me.
Tyquan Thornton's already set a career high in receiving yards and touchdowns. They've played 5 weeks.
I'm not surprised about that. I didn't know this guy before he came here to Kansas City, and he was with a New England team that, you know, what did you call Jared Mayo yesterday, the fill-in coach or something?
Oh, yeah, the other guy.
You're like, they had Belichick and the guy who filled in for a year.
Yeah, basically.
That was it.
That was it. No, it was funny the way he said it yesterday. I'm like, the guy who filled in for a year.
Like
they were waiting for Vrabel, which they probably were. I mean, Tennessee's a dysfunctional mess, as we know. It all starts with ownership down there. Feel bad for Bergonzi unless they're going to let him do his thing down there.
Shouldn't be long. Shouldn't be long.
No, but we kind of knew that you know, Vrabel wasn't going to be out long, and Mayo stunk, and so he goes the guy who filled in for a year.
Man, they had that one guy. Couldn't even remember his name. The other stat I'll give you, Mac, which I think is actually kind of insane.
Okay.
Because it makes me think, like, how long have these guys actually played for these franchises? Matthew Stafford is on pace to pass Jared Goff in career wins by a Rams quarterback as early as the...
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
The season.
Wow.
But wait, there's more. Jared Goff, meanwhile, is also on pace to pass Matthew Stafford in career wins by a Lions quarterback as early as 2027.
Damn. Oh, he's got to go that long?
Oh, he will.
He probably will, but I didn't realize like Matthew Stafford had that many wins in Detroit. I thought you were going to say they would all pass it now because yeah. You know, Goff in the Rams, I mean, they had some lean years before they got to be to the level that they are at right now, right? I think ultimately they were a bad football team, and then they moved back to LA and they started to turn on and get really, really good, and then, you know, Jared Goff got traded and Matthew Stafford was on a team that never won any football games. So I'm not surprised. That would be pretty cool if Matthew Stafford and Jared Goff were both 1-2 in victories for both the Lions and Rams.
Makes you wonder,
that would be awesome.
Makes you wonder if there's ever been a better trade in football.
Yeah.
I mean, you mean that worked out for both parties.
Yeah, like equal.
It's a win-win.
I mean, it is. Yeah. Obviously, Stafford won the Super Bowl with the Rams, and Goff has gotten close, but playoff Goff is a little shaky.
He has been a little
but
shaky,
He's 2-0 versus Patrick Mahomes.
He is, yeah. But that 55-54 game.
Didn't that give them like Laporta and Gibbs too? Like it kind of changed their whole franchise.
Yeah. St. Brown, is he in that?
St. Brown,
well?
Yep. There
but,
you go.
But also too, I mean, it made, you know, the Rams better. I think you're right. That's like people always wonder, who won the trade? Well, you'd like to have both teams win the trade. Like, honest to God, when you make a trade, neither team's for the most part. They're not trying to screw the other team, right? You're trying to make a beneficial trade that works for both parties involved so you can continue to do business with that team. You screw a team, they're out. You know, you're not going to be able to do business with them. And so that is a trade where you look at and go, that was a great trade for both parties. A lot of times they are one-sided trades, right? Like if you look at the Zach Greinke trade to Milwaukee, who benefited from that? Probably the Royals in the long run benefited from that. But the Brewers, I think with that, Zach Greinke ended up being in the postseason and they had CC Sabathia there for a while, but the Royals ended up winning a championship. So they would be the ones that benefited most from that trade. But they swapped quarterbacks, man, and both organizations kind of just took off. And it was probably a good new lease on life for both of those guys.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Jared Goff, 31 years old, came in the league in 2016. Matthew Stafford came in the league in 2009. Because you remember, if you do or don't, he was on that was supposed to be Georgia's all-world team. They had, I believe, A.J. Green, Matthew Stafford, and No'Shawn Moreno.
Oh, No'Shawn Moreno, yeah.
Preseason number one just didn't happen.
No'Shawn, yep. Nothing in the NFL.
He had that video of the tear coming out of his eye that looked like that it was full of rivers and
flood. That was his highlight.
Yeah.
That was that team in Georgia, man. They were stacked. A.J. Green, dude.
Were they both the first overall pick, Goff and Stafford?
I think so.
Yeah, I think they both were.
Yeah,
which is crazy, them being traded. Wow.
Yeah. Insane. So, Mac, you were gone, and you came back, and you got all your information of what was the topic on Tuesday. Because our poll question yesterday was, which player do you think the Chiefs will turn around the rest of the season? Yeah. Do you have belief will turn around the rest of the season? Chris Jones or Harrison Butker? And 60% of the people said Chris Jones.
Okay.
And you texted us, I'm back, boys, and I'm coming on the air tomorrow to defend my Chris Jones take. So I will hit the off button, and the floor is yours to defend why you think Chris Jones will turn it around.
Well, I would argue that he actually hasn't been
nice
as bad.
Take, Mac. I'm kidding. Go ahead.
Well, I know I kind of missed the boat on this. I'll make it quick. I would argue that he actually hasn't been as bad as people have said. It's a couple of plays that have stuck out to us that you have a right to be pissed off about. You should be pissed off about. Week one against the Chargers, him making a selfish play to try and go inside, giving Herbert that outside lane. And then obviously last week, him with popcorn in his hands, watching Trevor Lawrence fall to the ground twice and go to the end zone to win that game. If he just pushes a lineman back, you know, literally does anything, he maybe prevents that play from happening. So you have a right to be frustrated. But I would argue that overall, his play's not really dropped off. He's top five in pressures and top five in win rate, and he's top five in double teams. He's getting double teamed as much as anyone in the league, meaning that you've got guys like Karlaftis, Dana, name your defensive lineman on the Chiefs that's not Chris Jones, constantly getting one-on-ones, and they are not winning as much as they need to. I know Karlaftis has those high pressure numbers. I would argue that those are inflated and came mainly against a Ravens and a Giants team that isn't really worth much of a crap. I would say that we shouldn't argue or shouldn't judge defensive linemen based on the amount of tackles they have. We don't argue defensive backs based on their interceptions or passes defended, right? If a corner isn't getting passed or doesn't have interceptions, then, oh, he's not good. He's not getting passed to because he's covered. Chris Jones, offenses run away from where Chris Jones is, just like they don't throw to Trent McDuffie. So I would argue that we have to look at that a little bit. You know, Jalen Carter has three tackles for the Philadelphia Eagles this season.
He also missed a game for spitting.
So let's say it's five. Let's make it five. Let's say he gets two tackles that game. No one's having a referendum on Jalen Carter or how good he is. I would just say this D-line is the biggest issue on this football team. There's no question. You have the right to be frustrated. Chris Jones is a part of it. But I would argue that George Karlaftis and those others are a bigger part of this D-line not doing and not performing up to the standard that we would set.
Well, the standard that we set are really for only two guys. It is Chris Jones and it is George Karlaftis. They're the guys who make money. We're asking rookies to be, you know, veteran NFL players on that defensive line. I'm taking them out of the equation. So Derek Nnadi needs to do better. Still a bad move by Brent. I don't understand that one where you got rid of Pinnell and brought this guy back. Maybe it was Spags told him, I really like Derek Nnadi. And he made, you know, because those are the conversations that take place. You know, you go to your defensive coordinator, your head coach or whoever. If you're the general manager and you go, what do you want to do here? Like, who do you like? Who fits the system? What can I do to help you? That's the GM's job. And if Spag says, God, is there any way we can get Nnadi back here? And then you go and get Derek Nnadi, and he's been a total zero for this team right now. And so, look, it comes with the territory. When you make the money, you're expected to be the guy that produces. And that's the way we need to continue to look at it. And Chris Jones's biggest problem is, when he's on, he is on, but when he is off, it's bad. It's really bad. It's sulking bad. It's pouting bad. It's, you know, standing around bad. You know, he's not taking plays off and getting washed out by a guard or something like that that you don't notice. This guy's literally standing there watching multiple plays the other night. That's what I think has people ticked off. You've got to go out there and give it your all. And if you're out there on the field, I expect maximum effort. And that was not maximum effort from Chris Jones the other night.
What's your opinion of him lining up on the edge? Yay or nay on that?
I mean, it depends on the situation. I think he's good on the edge. I think we use it because we have to, because the Chiefs don't have an actual edge rusher right now that they can count on more often than not. I know Karloftis would be that guy. Karloftis is a three in my mind. They're paying him and using him like he's a two, in my opinion.
Yeah. I mean, I do feel like sometimes we're prisoner of the moment with people.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we take the play that we see Chris Jones clearly standing there watching the play in, thinking that Trevor Lawrence was, you know, down or whatever when clearly he wasn't. And then we use that to magnetize everything.
Yes.
We've done that with Harrison Butker a little bit. He's faltered more this year than we've seen maybe in the past,
mm-hmm.
but we're taking the sample size of 3 to 4 times this year where he has done that and been like, that's it, it's over, it's done with. But it's, you know, I will say there's time, right? There's time to get back in the swing of things, because to be fair to Chris Jones on that last drive, he was doing things to disrupt Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah.
Trevor Lawrence put a dime in a basket to BTJ on the sideline.
Great throw.
I still think has a chance to be deflected. I don't know what Jalen Watson was doing over there.
He just got beat, man. It was a beautiful throw. It was a dime. I mean, it was dropped perfectly.
And it shouldn't have been a penalty. I'm not calling for a penalty, but there was a tiny little, and I don't think it should have been called, but it was nice by PTJ to have a little bit of arm extension there.
Sure there was, but even still, it was a great throw. There's nothing you can say. That throw was perfect. Like, it was a gorgeous, gorgeous throw. The guy's jumping, trying to knock this thing down. There's nothing he can do about it. It was just a perfect throw. Like, we always want to, like, blame our guys. Sometimes the other team just makes plays. They're paid professionals as well. But the problem that I have with Chris Jones is he is really good, but he is also epically bad at times. And he gets outside of himself, and he pouts, and he quits. And we have seen that more often than not. And Dusty kind of brought it up the other day, which I think is a brilliant point. This team, they don't lose great, you know? Like, they're great when it's winning, but when things go bad, they have a hard time dealing with adversity. They're not used to it, which is also a good thing. But it's professional sports. It's life. Life has adversity in it. You have to learn how to deal with adversity. And it seems like to me when adversity hits, Chris Jones becomes that only child who screams in the middle of the room until his mother gives him what he wants.
Coming up on the other side, we'll be joined by Nate Taylor of ESPN.
He's
here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty, brought to you by Golden Oak Lending. Do you need extra cash? Golden Oak Lending can convert your home's equity into cash in as little as 14 days. Let Golden Oak Lending cure your blues. Your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5 The Fan.
I'm just really upset with the Cincinnati Bengals. You see who they were looking at before they gave Joe Flacco the contract?
Anybody?
They're looking at my boy, Drew Lock.
Oh.
Dude, he would have thrived in Cincinnati.
That would have been fun for you.
Is he in Seattle again?
I think he's still there as a backup.
Yep. Yeah.
He'd have been chucking it down the field to Chase.
Yeah, he would have.
Chase would have loved his aura. Drew Lock would have been good for that team. Because Joe Flacco with that offensive line, are you excited? All right.
What about Drew Lock with that offensive line or any quarterback with that offensive line?
At least Drew Lock can be mobile. Like, at least he can get out of there.
I think they're bringing in a quarterback that's not going to upstage Joe Burrow. You know, that's what it is. You know that nobody's going to be clamoring to keep Joe Flacco if they, you know, if they win a couple of games and want Joe Burrow back. You bring in a guy like Jameis Winston or something like that, fans may go like, oh, let's just keep him. He's never hurt.
I don't know about that.
I don't think that.
They'd say keep him and then get rid of him within two throws.
Maybe.
Yeah.
What a throw by Jameis. That's what we needed. Oh, gosh, pick six. Get him out of here.
But that organization needs to invest in their backup quarterback because Joe Burrow is not reliable.
Mm-hmm. Or their offensive line would be where I would start. Yeah.
Well, yeah, but
could have had Josh Simmons.
Could have. Yeah. Didn't. Hate that pick. Yeah. But they've got Orlando Brown. They're fine. So no, I think they really need, like, if there's one team that truly does need to invest in their backup quarterback, it is the Cincinnati Bengals, because he has proven that he can't stay healthy and he's missed more time than he's played, I think, at this point, you know?
From Pro Football Rumors, Drew Lock and Sam Howell were among the Bengals' potential quarterback targets before they settled on Joe Flacco.
I wonder if these other teams just didn't want to trade those guys, or they needed a quarterback now, and Seattle's like, nah, I don't know, call me in a week or so. Like, we got nothing. You know, we got to make a move now. And Cleveland has, you know, got a dumpster full of quarterbacks that are no good. And so, all right, fine, we'll send you Joe Flacco.
I do get that. Locke would at least add more vibes. It'd be more positive. It'd be more fun. Flacco's like a wet fart kind
of thing. But we've all seen it, right?
Yeah, it's like, okay. It's,
it's been there, done that.
If I put the over-under, because who do they play this week?
They play the Packers. Oh, That's why you went and got him. Yeah. I mean, people are questioning why you went and got Joe Flacco. It's pretty simple. He beat the Green Bay Packers with the Browns.
All right, here you go, Mac. More tackles this week from Chris Jones or more sacks from Micah Parsons?
Let's go Chris Jones.
Okay. I'm going to go with Micah Parsons. He's going against that bad defense, that bad offensive line, and Joe Flacco.
Look at how he sacked Joe Flacco on this play, Dave.
Essentially what's going to happen is you're going to have Micah Parsons basically playing 7-on-7 out there. That's a 7-on-7 game.
Yeah, you remember that time when the Chiefs defensive line was really good and they played in Denver and they sacked Joe Flacco like 8 times?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was cool.
Yeah, that was awesome. Yeah, they're going to get Joe Flacco a lot. Yeah, no, I'll take the Micah Parsons number. Seriously, let's watch that over the weekend. See what the bigger number is. Chris Jones tackles or Micah Parsons sacks. And I think it's probably, like, if Micah Parsons gets 2 sacks, that's a big day, obviously.
Huge.
I don't know that Chris Jones is going to get credited with 2 tackles. He hasn't yet this year.
Credit where credit's due. Paul Skeens sent out a Instagram story. Now, my buddy has one of these. Shout out to Donnie Funk, by the way.
Do they use this thing?
Oh, yeah. So they live in a nice neighborhood in Lee Summit, and they got this. What we're talking about is Paul Skeens has a hot dog roller.
Right. He's got the roller in his kitchen.
Because why wouldn't you? Right.
Exactly.
You know, Livy likes him. You like him. Happy wife, happy life. And I know they're not married yet. But my buddy Donnie, it was his wife's birthday, and he was like, we're going to do it at the neighborhood pool. Come over. I bought this hot dog griller. And I was like, no, you didn't. He's like, oh, yeah.
How much are these things?
I don't know. He could text me and let me know. I know he listens daily.
I bet you they're under $100.
And not only that, he went to Quick Trip and asked if they could buy stuff. You just give Quick Trip a week in advance, and they'll be like, hey, man, yeah, come back up here on Friday, and I'll give you a box of, like, frozen taquitos, because it ain't just hot dogs you can put on this.
No, you can put anything on. Oh, Quick Trip will sell you a box of frozen taquitos?
I believe so.
Oh, wow. Well, I mean, they'll sell you anything. It's capitalism,
right? Yeah, the Funkmaster, man, he bought a hot dog roller. It was awesome. You just throw them on there, and you get right back in the pool. Get out to get a new drink, check them. Oh, they look all right. Hey, hot dogs are done. Come get them.
You don't have to worry about
it. If you take the last one, cooler's got the Nathan's in there. Put them out. Put them on.
Put them on, yeah.
Great idea.
Oh, I do. Does he have the sign that says the stuff is cooked behind this sign like Quick Trip does or anything like that?
Not ready.
Yeah.
I think I'll take that one.
Yeah, okay.
That's a kind of that's kind of one of those like unnecessary but necessary flexes.
Yeah, I think it is, right? I think it's cool.
What you'd have in your house?
Yeah, I would absolutely 100% put a steam room in my house if I could do that.
Can't you buy those at Costco?
You can buy saunas.
Okay.
The steam room is, you know, it's plumbing and all that kind of stuff. It would take a lot to put that in, and I think anyway. But I would love to have a steam room in my house. What about you? If you could flex, what would you be flexing on?
Damn.
Because I thought that hot dog roll was kind of a cool
I think I'd
flex.
Have like the movie theater basement.
Oh, that is good.
That'd be sick. Yeah, I'd love that.
Because you don't have to just watch movies down there. Like, hey, fellas, you want to come over and watch the Chiefs game in the movie theater? Because my buddies, two of them, have a popcorn machine at their house.
Oh,
they have tons of kids.
Yeah.
You throw that thing up and they're inside and they leave you alone.
Right.
But yeah, man, I would have that movie theater setting downstairs. I mean, that's obviously a flex, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Hey, what
are
you guys gonna watch? We watch a game at my house. All right, you have a TV. What size is your TV? First off, Richard, question if you ask that.
Does anybody ask that though?
We have a guy in our text group.
You got to be kidding! Is he doing it on purpose, like to be funny, or is he being serious about it?
No, we'll be like, hey, watching the game at my house. How big's your TV?
No, come on.
It's happened twice.
What's his cutoff? I want to know what his.
Yeah, like where? You only have a 72-inch. My lowest is 79.
Yeah.
What is that?
What kind of question is that? What a jackass!
That's
like, are you going to bring your own TV if it's not big enough? Like, if you ask, what are you serving, and I'm diabetic or vegan or something,
doing tacos, bring whatever. Yeah. Hey, has anybody said they're bringing guac and salsa? No, it's yours. Perfect.
Done. Right. Yeah, but I mean, like, that kind of stuff I can ask, but what size is your... Look, you're invited over, man. If you're coming, you're not. You're coming. If you're not, you're not. It's not going to be because you don't think my TV's big enough.
That's almost the same as, like, if you go on a date and the girl texts you, so how big's your hog? Well, that's hopefully.
I don't think that's really happened on a first date. I mean, maybe it has. I'm sure it has. Has it happened to you?
No.
The way you did the, like, I'm like, oh.
I don't go on many dates, clearly.
Dusty or Dusty Mac, what would be your flex?
Full court basketball court in my house.
Inside
court? Oh, inside court. Inside court.
Inside court. I had a friend that had that. That was fun.
Really?
Yeah, former baseball player. That's sick. Yeah, it was awesome.
Yeah, the lines and everything.
Yeah, it was fun. Yeah. We used to go out there all the time and play.
Yeah, also, a buddy of mine had one of those.
Walmart, like 70 bucks?
Yeah, I told you. I don't think they're probably under 100 bucks for one of those things. It's still a flex, though. It's not an expensive flex, but it's a flex. You walk into somebody's house and you see a hot dog roller in there, you're thinking, dude, this guy's awesome. This guy's got a hot dog roller. How cool is that?
Somebody says, you have to know your friend's TV setup. Don't ask, but be aware of what you're getting into. I mean, like, legit, how big is your TV? Well, it's a Toshiba box.
We're asking you over to hang with the guys and to do this kind of stuff. It's about fellowship, bro. If you want it, great. If you don't, fine.
This is the text I always
send. Don't ask how big somebody's TV is.
This is the text I always send to my buddies coming from the 816. The only appropriate question that you can ask to go when you go to someone's house for game day is, are your kids going to be there?
Yeah, that's a fair question. Are the kids going to be around?
You know?
If not, great. If they are, I'll bring mine and we'll put them upstairs and they can hang out together.
From the 816, I would tell that guy it's 19 inches. Don't come.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, seriously, yeah, it's about 19 incher. It's black and white. Oh, okay.
Well, I guess if I had the ultimate flex, which would fit my personality, I'd have the man shed that would just be Golf Simulator.
Yeah.
Hey, you guys want to go play Pebble Beach? Go play 18 real quick.
I think there's a guy in my neighborhood that has it. I hear this guy hitting golf balls all day long.
Must be nice. I would love that. Does anybody have a hookup on a simulator? Because I have a garage. I think
you could probably put it in there.
I think so.
There's a new place that's a simulator out over by Jasper's that just opened. I don't know if you've been to this place yet, but Jasper was telling me about it. He goes, it's unbelievable.
There's one in Lee Summit.
You go in there, you play any golf course you want, and do all this kind of stuff. A lot of fun.
Somebody says from the 816, my TV is the size of a redwood. You can't miss it.
That's exactly right. Thank you, Travis.
Mm. Yeah.
What a question. What size is your TV?
I'm going to tell you.
Yeah. Have you been here before? No. Oh, okay. Well, then it's 19 inches. So.
Well, and nowadays, like, doesn't everybody basically have at least a 60-inch TV at their house? Because remember when TVs first came out, it was like, I'll never have that. And then 5 years later, you're, 42-inch, like, Samsung's, like, $399 at Target.
Oh, that's the thing. They're a dime a dozen now.
I don't even know if they're $399 at Target.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy. We just bought, like, a 72-inch for the basement for the kids because, you know, I got to have that, right? $299.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like,
yeah, but, yeah.
You go to Costco, it's right there. They know what they're doing.
Yeah.
You walk right in, it's like, glasses, TVs.
Right.
At least the one Independence is.
No, they're all the same way.
And then plants.
Yeah, they're all right there, the TVs or when you walk in. But I always, you know, like I'll go to a Best Buy or someplace like that because they let you finance it. You know, Costco, you got to pay for it all up front.
40 years paying $1.99.
That's exactly right. I'll do that every day of the week.
Speaking of Redwood, there's clarification of that song.
Wood, great, great soundtrack. How do you feel about Wood? Let's ask this. How do you feel about Wood?
It's a great song.
It's a great song. Yeah. Do you feel like that? Do you feel cocky? Do you feel cocky about the song Wood?
No. Any song that she that's references
just,
me
that's
in.
Not just any very, song. This is a very specific you.
I love that girl. So what do you mean? Any song that she would reference me in any
Well, it's not
way
just you, though. It's an appendage. It's not just you as a...
What?
It's a very specific thing.
I think you're not understanding the song.
You're out of your mind.
Come on.
Redwood tree, ain't hard to see. I thought redwood was a little bit, that's a generous word, I think. I think if somebody wrote a song about me, it'd be like, Japanese maple, sometimes can see.
You knew Men's Jason wieners. Kelsey had his content for the entire episode when that song came out.
Oh,
I mean,
Jason, talk about 50 other two dudes in that locker room, too.
Oh,
you know?
100%.
Yeah, because what? We'll be there this Sunday.
Heck yeah.
I'm hoping they win to see if they play that song in the locker room.
That would be awesome. That'd be great.
Because he would have to answer. I'm like, who put this on the playlist?
Yeah. You think he would ask?
I don't think he has to.
Yeah.
I think it just kind of comes with the territory. Happen, yeah. Hey, Travis, here we go. Because it does kind of bop. Like the song.
Oh, it's good. Yeah. Yeah.
It's a good one.
Did you guys?
It's one of the three good ones on the album.
One of three?
Yeah. I wasn't overwhelmed by this album. My kids weren't overwhelmed by this album. This album hit more for you know, moms than it did for the girls, I think, this time around. And I know that because I have moms and, you know, teenage girls in my house. And so I know what they're saying. My wife loved the album, thought it was great. My kids are like, I don't need to hear a song about Travis, you know, like they were like kind of weirded out by that, I think, more than anything. And I was like, look, she's 35 years old now. She's now more probably appealing to starting to be more appealing and whatnot to the moms than to the kids, because the kids, you know, they just, they're onto the, you know, Olivia Rodrigo, whoever's next, you know, and whatnot. And even one of my daughters was like, that didn't really sound like Taylor, what I'm used to. And I didn't really care for that album. I'm like, okay, that's fine. I mean, she set the streaming records yesterday, but people older, the moms, they love that one. The Ophelia song I thought was really good. And was the Opalite. Yeah, Opalite song. I really like that one as well. And then obviously Wood is the one that everybody's talking about. But I didn't walk away from that album going, wow, this is the greatest album that Taylor's ever done or anything like that. I walked away from that album going, it's a couple of good songs, and I understand why the kids probably are a little, huh? What was this?
Yeah,
Redwood.
Yeah,
it wasn't what we're used to, right? But she's maturing. She's a different artist today than she was singing Teardrops on My Guitar and Tim McGraw. It's just a completely different. She talks about the eras all the time. This is now probably her adult era, and that's okay.
It's also her happy era.
It's also her very happy era.
It's much different. Yep. Much different music. Yep. That was Hannah's biggest takeaway. She's like, yeah, I just kind of liked it more.
Jack Antonoff's not a producer of the album.
And that was another thing. You brought that up on Friday, and I was talking to the kids about that, and they're like, yeah, that makes a big difference. He's like legit, and he was really good, and they were like, she needs to get back and working with Jack Antonoff, because this album without him was not something we liked. And I was like, just having the conversations with the kids was really cool about this Taylor Swift album. It's why I listened to it twice before I got him on Friday, because I wanted to know what it was all about, what the songs were. And then Dusty had that, you know, one about the director not being involved and the producer not being involved anymore. And it all, it's a different sounding album from anything she's ever done. And again, that's okay. It's okay to grow, you know, and do different things.
It's like Brady going to the Bucks.
Yeah.
At New England, it was, you know, ticky-tacky down the sideline last second. And then you look at, you know, he goes to the Bucks and he's throwing for 5,000 yards, 48 touchdowns almost every year he was there.
Yeah. He never had a guy. Well, Randy Moss, obviously, but then Mike Evans and, you know.
Else, but he had Godwin, Evans, and Antonio Brown for a short period of time.
Well, I remember
that
incident, too. That was great, him quitting in the middle of a game.
All right, let's go to Nate Taylor.
He's the only man in history to win a race in a hot dog costume and break national NFL news.
It's baby laugh.
Here's Nate Taylor from ESPN with Fesco and Dusty on your home for Chiefs football, 96.5 The Fan.
That's right. ESPN Zone, Nate Taylor, Chiefs beat writer for ESPN. All right, Nate. This game on Sunday, we going to see more Noel Williams or no?
yes, I think the Chiefs quite understand that, you know, based on the fireworks that the Lions can present, especially with Ramon St. Brown sort of in the slot. Yeah, it would be helpful to have Trent McDuffie out there, which means you need Noel Williams to be on the perimeter. It appears that, you know, Christian Fulton's going to be playing in this game. You know, we haven't really seen him much just because of the ankle injury he's been having really since the start of the season. So in terms of like a per down basis, outside of Trent McDuffie, their second best cornerback is either Jalen Watson, which has mostly been the case, or Noel Williams on a smaller snap count basis. He needs to be out there. I know he's very good in press man coverage. I know he's a willing tackler. It's probably one of the oddest decisions that Steve Spagnuolo made to not really play him much and move Chamari Conner down to the nickel spot, which has, again, been very troubling in terms of results. It's like, hey, let's put him on Travis Hunter. And it's like, that's not going to go well. So, yeah, let's see Noel Williams, whether that's Jameson Williams, whether that's Ramonse Brown in the outside. He needs to get, you know, as much game experience as possible, because he has shown he's got plenty of talent, and the faster he can improve between now and the end of the regular season, the better the Chiefs defense, I believe, can be, because it pushed Chamari Conner back in his natural spot as a safety.
Where are we on the two rookies on the defensive line, Nate? Because the defensive backs have been playing really good. They'll play better if we start getting more pressure on that quarterback from the front four. It's not happening, just the four guys alone. Yeah. Where are we on the two young guys on this team right now?
Yeah. Through five games, it's become abundantly clear they need the kids to play and play a lot. I just want to remind everybody that without Omar Norman Lott, who missed Monday's game because of a shoulder, And look, he's on track to play Sunday against the Lions. You know, there's really no one who has actual pass rushing juice or potential to get better over the course of the season that's not playing the same spot as Chris Jones. You know what you're going to get from Derek Nnadi, which is, you know, decent snaps on first down to stop the run, which the Chiefs have been very good at. But in terms of, like, giving Chris Jones an ability to have a little bit of rest, right, to where it's not entirely on him to get pressure through the middle of the interior, it's really just Omar Norman Lott. Like, he has to play, I think, the remainder of these games. He's that valuable because it gives Chris Jones the ability to, like, I don't know, have a rest. Like, one of the more wild stats to me is that your oldest and your best defensive lineman, Chris Jones, had to play the most snaps of anybody on that defensive line against Jacksonville. And for some reason, you know, I know Steve Spagnuolo values veteran players, but I think it's clear that you should probably put more investment in the Ashton Gelati development versus, you know, Mike Dana, who has just not played well this year. Like, he's a guy that knows everything in the system. He's a versatile player, but for one reason or another, he has not had the same impact he had in 2023, right? So you need Ashton Gelati to be a nice mix to the Charles Omenihue and the George Karloftis, you know, mix that the Chiefs have right now. I think it's clear that Charles Omenihue is probably their second best edge rusher, which isn't saying a ton, but at least he's starting to play better over these last 2 weeks. Ashton Gelati, I think, only had like 25 snaps, which seems wildly low considering that the Chiefs were ahead for most of the game. So, again, if you need pass rushing juice, it's time to rely on the kids because those are the players right now where you can see actual potential, and they need to start cultivating that as we get, you know, past the first, you know, third of the season, and they really need to play a lot more in the second third of the season. You know, really starting Sunday against the Lions. I mean, I cannot stress this enough that the Lions have a good offensive line, but the pocket can be crushed. I think that's what we've seen because of the lack of mobility from Jared Goff. And you need Gelati and you need Omar Norman Lott to sort of be part of the equation in terms of just getting more consistent pressure on a down-to-down basis from the defensive line.
When you look at this game against the Lions, is there more concern in their secondary or more concern with the Chiefs' defensive line?
Man, that's a that's a tough question. Because the Lions have the ability to throw the ball pretty well in the intermediate and deep areas of the field, because they have such good running backs, I want to say secondary, because again, the Chiefs don't have like amazing safety play, but they have competent safeties when, you know, Tremaria Connor is allowed to be a safety. Mm-hmm. Jaden Hicks, I thought, did really well over these last couple weeks, you know, sort of in that Justin Reed sort of role, but everybody's got to play the right spot, especially against this offense. Like, these guys are scoring 30 consistently over the last 4 weeks. And, you know, I know they played the Ravens, who are not good. I know they played the Bengals, who are not good. But they still got plenty of fireworks. And, you know, Sam Laporta is just out there. Like, he doesn't even have to be, like, a total focal point of the offense, but he's that good. He's that capable. I don't know who gets the assignment for Sam Laporta, but I would say the secondary, just because this is a game where you can't really be tinkering. You can't experiment. You can't really fool around. Like, you need your best 5 to 6 defensive backs to be in their proper spots. And you really need Trent McDuffie to be excellent so that he can cut off half the field. So I would say, you know, even though Jared Goff is, you know, not the most dynamic, he's not going to be running around the way we thought we saw Trevor Lawrence on Monday. But at the same time, I think, you know, he can deliver the football on time, and your secondary needs to be ready.
Nate Taylor with us here on 96.5 The Fan. Can that Jacksonville game be used the same way the Tennessee game was years ago, or the Bengals AFC championship game, where you hit that? I hate to use the term rock bottom. Let's just use it for argument's sake here, where you feel like you've hit that rock bottom and you bounce up and you use that as the turning point of the season. Does Jacksonville give you those same vibes? The Raider game on Christmas Day, the Bengal championship game, the Tennessee game from a few years ago before they won that first Super Bowl. Are you getting that same vibe that the Jacksonville game is going to have those same type of effects as other games did?
Well, there's plenty of evidence to suggest that that game was that hectic, that weird, that I was sort of in the press box after the game trying to write my story, and I was just laughing at moments because it is truly awe-striking how they lost that game. And it is very emblematic of, like, that Tennessee loss in 2019 where you just have to laugh because you're like, how in the world did they lose that game? Like, how in the world do you give up a 14-point lead when you were dominating the entire first half? So, yes, this is good for the Chiefs, but it will start to become worrisome for me if they don't actually start applying the lessons that they've learned through 5 weeks. What has been clear to me, and I know I'm not the first person to say this, and I know there's probably someone in the car or at the office sort of saying yes, but like this game proved to them, I believe, that, hey, you're still one of the topper echelon teams, but you got to have a killer instinct. You cannot, under any circumstance, play with your food. You can't have 13 penalties. That's embarrassing in and of itself beyond letting, you know, Trevor Lawrence fall to the turf, get up, survey the field, and realize, oh, I can still score, you know, even though the Jags have no timeouts and there's, you know, less than 30 seconds left in the game. So, again, it's a comical way in which they lost, and it's much easier to laugh than to, like, you know, throw things across the room. But, okay, it's time to start applying why you're the better team, right? It's time to start showing over the course of 60 minutes that, hey, you need to have better focus. You need to have better concentration. You need to execute at a higher rate. You can't just say, okay, well, we're up, so we're clearly better, which means, like, the other team isn't going to, like, keep trying. Like, that's one of the better things about these young up-and-coming teams is that they are not necessarily afraid because you haven't demonstrated over 5 games that you're willing to just dominate from start to finish. They had an opportunity to do that. I know Andy Reid is not thrilled with the lack of execution and the lack of just concentration, honestly. Like, this team is very undisciplined, but they're so freaking talented. So, again, it's easier to laugh than to cry, but I agree. Like, this should be the last lesson, the last major lesson that this team needs for the first third of the season where you say, okay, it's starting to come together on offense. You have enough talent on defense. Just provide the killer instinct more times than not. Like, if you get up on the Lions, do not under any circumstance start to, you know, take the gas off. Don't play with your food. Like, it's so clear to me that if the Chiefs just stop doing dumb stuff, they will win the majority of their games moving forward this season because they are that talented. But they gotta start with themselves, and that game on Monday should serve them well because that was pretty embarrassing.
No doubt about it. Nate Taylor of ESPN joins us every Thursday. Nate, Mac, and I'll see you on Sunday night, and keep doing your job, man. Keep doing that wonderful work at ESPN.
Yes, sir, Phyllis. Thank you again.
Absolutely. It's Nate Taylor of ESPN. Coming up, Bleacher Report talked about championship gene. What you need to do for the Kansas City Royals. We talk about some names that might come to the team if you had a wish list here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for the Kansas City Royals.
Good morning, Kansas City. This is Leo Chanel, and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Chiefs football, 96.5 The Fan.
Brought to you by Golden Oak Lending. Do you need extra cash? Golden Oak Lending can convert your home's equity into cash in as little as 14 days. Let Golden Oak Lending cure your blues.
Back here on 96.5 The Fan, as baseball continues to roll through the playoffs, teams slowly but surely getting eliminated. Yankees season done last night. Philadelphia hanging on by a string.
I just told you in break, there is no room for error in the baseball playoffs. And Dusty's like, for anyone? I'm like, no, for anyone. It doesn't matter, man. Like, the minute you make a mistake, it seems like the other teams are just capitalizing on this right now.
Right. Yeah, you just – like, I was watching a little bit of that Cubs and Brewers game, and they were talking about how, you know, Pete Crow Armstrong and Kyle Tucker have been, quote-unquote, struggling in the postseason. Kyle Tucker hitting 400.
Struggling.
But he has five singles and nothing else.
Yeah.
So he has five hits and 20 at-bats, and they're all singles.
But what is everybody else doing? Because it seems like to me now, because of this Aaron Judge saga that's been going on, like if you're a great player in baseball, you better reach the World Series and win it and dominate in your first year. Otherwise, people will say, well, he's not living up to it. I mean, Kyle Tucker is doing his job, and, you know, he's hitting 400. That's a Hall of Fame career, right? If you extrapolate it out. So I don't think the Cubs should be mad at him. It's everybody else that isn't getting the job done, right? I think in baseball, it's harder. Like in football, your stars can rise to the occasion. They can control the game a little bit more than a guy with a stick standing in there trying to hit 100-mile-an-hour pill flying at him, right? So I think in football, it's easier to kind of raise that level of play, and I think we've kind of carried that over into the baseball mantra of, like, if you're a superstar, you better be a superstar in October, otherwise you're not a superstar. Sometimes I think maybe we have our expectations a little out of whack. I don't know, but I mean, that's the era in which we live, right? We pay these guys, we expect them to do good things.
Right, so just doing, like, quick research, because you had found this article of Bleacher Report saying that the Royals should go out and overspend. And they said the name they want to get is Trent Grisham,
right?
Who, again, great regular season,
right?
Fell short of the playoffs. Mm-hmm. It was terrible for the Yankees in the playoffs. Yeah. And if you're,
I mean, really everybody was outside of Judge when you look at it. I mean, if Aaron Judge doesn't have his night in game three, the Yankees are swept.
Right. And you look at, you know, the window of opportunity is, a lot of people think the Chiefs' window of that dynasty is shutting.
Mm-hmm.
The Royals could possibly be opening up back-to-back winning seasons, a playoff miss this year, but a playoff gain last year. And there's no secret, you know, the eyes in the skies for the Royals are the fans that watch the game. They want an outfield bat.
Mm-hmm.
And there's not a lot out there.
Let me rephrase that. They need an outfield
bat. And you look at the right fielders that are available. And some of you, maybe some of you, I don't know all of you, want to see Mike Yastrzemski come back on this team. He's 35, but the name at the top for right fielders is the previous mentioned Kyle Tucker.
Hell yes.
Gonna cost you. He's 29 years old. So, look, it depends, right? Like, when it comes to this team, there's people that want Mr. Sherman to spend, and he has. But it's been within his own team. So mm-hmm. some people will say, that's positive. I love to see that. You locked up Reagans, Lugo, Bobby.
And that was, look, we couldn't lock up a guy for our lives with glass running this franchise.
I'm glad that you mentioned that, because that's where I'm at. Because I remember for years, friends of mine, colleagues, one of which has a birthday tomorrow, was like, there's no way they're going to give Bobby Witt Jr. money. Prove to me why they would. And that's perfect, right? Like, there is no proof that they would give Bobby Witt Jr. all that money. And because we still go back to the days of, like, they gave Gil Mesh $55 million.
But that was a different organization.
Correct,
now.
It was.
Yeah, I think it's unfair for people to judge the Royals as the Royals right now, because they're not the Royals anymore. They're John Sherman's team, and he's running it completely different than Glass did. Glass wouldn't open his pocketbook and buy name brand ibuprofen, for God's sakes. I mean, that's a true story. They wouldn't have Advil. They had the Equate brand down in the clubhouse, and guys were pissed about that in the early years. So when people say that's not typical of the Royals, I think that's unfair, because John Sherman isn't the typical Royals, you know?
But to give it fairness, that's all we had.
I know, it's true. Like,
That's our stat sheet. Right. It was Beltran and all these guys, like, no shot at Mike Sweeney, but they could have given them both, like, separate. Like,
well, they offered them both the same contract, and Beltran said no, and Sweeney said yes. And that's where we are.
Okay. And you look at what this team could do, and, you know, the rumors of last year to go get Santander in right field, ends up getting hurt, has a horrible year for Toronto, hasn't really played well. I mean, he did all right the other night at two RBIs, I think, against the Yankees in that magical game that was the Aaron Judge, the come from behind, and then last night was a wet fart.
Huge wet fart,
But Kyle Tucker is the top list. Everybody else in this group is kind of either has-beens, like Starling Marte's on this list of right fielders, Jason Hayward, Hunter Renfro.
I can't believe Jason Hayward is still a name that's being thrown out there. And Hunter Renfro is not a major league baseball player anymore.
But a guy like Max Kepler is on that list that maybe you
Does
just
anything
need.
Does anything really do that for you, though?
But I mean, ask, what do you need?
Do you need somebody?
Do you need somebody for a year or two? Or do you need somebody that you want to lock up? Because Kyle Tucker would be going into age 30 and probably getting a five-year contract.
Yeah,
so you're going to be locked up with him. Now, when you look at DHs or other bats, if you want to get a bat, there's names like Kyle Schwarber, Marcell Ozuna, Jock Peterson, Andrew McCutchen, Eloy Jimenez.
A lot of those guys I like 5 years ago.
Exactly. Yeah. So, like, that's the thing that I think the Royals are going to run into is the fact that there's going to be players that aren't really worth maybe the contract, and you have to worry about that as well.
Yep.
Because we know too well that if they go get somebody and they don't perform, this town will crush them
immediately.
And I wouldn't be hesitant to maybe see what Cody Bellinger wants. He will be a free agent. Luis Robert, he's the youngest one of the group, but I don't know if you know what he's going
to
do.
They're going to hang on to him, and hopefully this is rinse repeat with Luis Robert. It's like, let's hope he gets off to a fast start and trade him, and we've tried that now for two consecutive years in Chicago, and he hasn't gotten off to a hot start. And so he's one I love him in the outfield. His bat right now isn't very good. Who was the guy that you said prior to Luis Robert that you mentioned?
Bellinger.
I like that move.
I like that
a lot. He's an MVP. He's an all-star. He's a guy that can play multiple positions, you know, for you and kind of get after it.
Only a year older than Tucker.
And he's mature. And baseball 30, that doesn't bother me like the NFL does. And in baseball, you see these guys play forever in a day, right? It's a little bit different. Not the wear and tear on your body, obviously, that the NFL is. But in baseball, like I still think the Royals' best opportunity to get better is to trade, you know, Noah Cameron. I'll stick to that to the day I'm dead, right? I just think that's their best opportunity to go out and get better, especially in a market like the Royals where the spending is not what it is in LA or in New York. And so it's easier, if you will, to acquire a good player when you do it via trade than get into a bidding war, you know, in free agency. The Santander, we offered him 60, Toronto gave him 90. I mean, it's a huge chasm of a difference. And so it's hard to compete from a money standpoint. That's why I still think the trade is the best opportunity for these guys to go out and get that bat and to get better. But also too, then you look at the postseason, Dusty, it's completely different than the regular season. You mash all regular season long, and then you get into the postseason and you got to play small ball. You know, it completely changes what you try to do. The home runs don't fly like they do in the regular season. It's dominated by pitching. Like if the Royals were to get in the playoffs this past year, we were talking about it yesterday. Oh my God, they probably had the best rotation in the postseason. I mean, they would have had an opportunity to win some games had they been able to get into the postseason. So maybe you refocus what you're trying to do, and instead of going and acquiring a bat that may be hard to acquire, you just go out and you get single and double hitters, you get guys that are fast on the bases, and you play that whitey ball style that we saw in the 80s, and you just got to reinvent the game like the Royals did in 14 and 15 with speed and bullpen. Maybe that's where we are now in order to, you know, get past the, you know, being able to acquire the big bat. Maybe they just need to reinvent the game like they did in 14 and 15. The other thing is, too, I'm interested to see what these free agent contracts are going to be like with the impending labor stoppage happening, too. You know, are teams going to want to get into long-term deals? Are players going to be looking for these long-term deals? Like how that and are teams going to want to sign long-term deals if they don't know what the financial future is after this season?
College football coverage on 96.5 The Fan is brought to you by Bud Light. Bud Light and Tanner's are teaming up to make every college game day legendary. Every Saturday, rep your college team.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every play and enjoy $15 buckets only at Kansas area Tanner locations. Bud Light and Tanner's, from the stands to the bar, your game day headquarters. Game day headquarters in North Carolina will be absent of one individual very, very soon because of everything that came out yesterday. We dive into the Bill Belichick saga here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
Good morning, Kansas City. This is Josh Simmons, and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Chiefs football. 96.5 The Fan.
Brought to you by Golden Oak Lending. Do you need extra cash? Golden Oak Lending can convert your home's equity into cash in as little as 14 days. Let Golden Oak Lending cure your blues.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.